to make me a servant, make me like you.
Hello and welcome to Counsel from Above. I am your host, Nathan Honeycutt, licensed professional counselor, ministers of the Church of Christ, getting an opportunity to sit down today with you, thinking about God's Word, mental health, and kind of things you would ask a counselor. And so today's is about self-care. It's a catchphrase that we see a lot right now, especially in the mental health field and different fields in which you get bombarded with so many things day in and day out that it's hard to not hold on to certain things. And so this phrase is used a lot to try to help us slow down and to make sure that our well-being is taken care of and the things that are going on in our world are okay. Because if we're not okay, it's hard to take care of anyone else. And for a lot of our lives, we struggle with that. And we have a very difficult time acknowledging that. And so the three questions we have today are questions that are directly related to us and how we take care of ourselves and how we kind of take care of the things around us so that we can be the best that we can be. So our first question comes from Shannon. Shannon says, my child deals with anxiety, especially when it comes to school or big crowds. We think it mainly stems from the fear of throwing up in public. How do we help her cope with anxiety? We want her to have coping skills she can use as she grows. Well, Shannon, I appreciate the question. This is a question that I see a lot, especially in different situations that I've been in and different counseling opportunities that I've had, in which we get into a point and our anxiety begins to heighten. And so we then have to try to figure out, well, what do we do with this feeling or with these emotions and the things that are going on? So I want to begin by helping us understand that anxiety is normal. Anxiety is an emotion that God has given us to be able to address and to manage the things that are going on around us. It's interesting that if you notice in Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse number 37, Jesus is preparing to go to the cross. He's preparing to be tried and to be crucified. And as that preparation happens in Matthew 26, you read these words, "In talking with Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he, Jesus, began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." I think that if you looked up some definitions and you looked up what is anxiety, you're going to notice that anxiety sounds a lot like what Jesus is describing. Feeling sorrowful and feeling troubled. But then if you ever talk to someone who struggles with like panic attacks and things like that, it feels like you're about to die. And so if having anxiety is wrong, then where does that put Jesus? Anxiety is not wrong. Anxiety is a extremely important emotion in our world. Think of anxiety like this. Anxiety is that emotion that is given to us to say, hey, something's not right. In our world, we have parts in our brain, and that part in our brain is checking everything around us, whether we're consciously doing it or unconsciously doing it. Everything around us is being brought in, and our brain is kind of sorting it out, and what's okay, what's not okay, what's a danger, what isn't a danger. And anxiety is that feeling you feel when something's not right, and you're trying to make sense of that. And so it's heightening your fear, it's heightening your worry, it's heightening your concern, it's heightening those things because something is amiss, something is wrong. Now, anxiety unchecked has the ability to overreach and overrun. And people that struggle with like an anxiety disorder or have this heightened amount of anxiety that they can't go in public. Shannon, much like your daughter who looks and says, I can't go out there because there's something wrong. There's a big problem here and this might happen. And so what anxiety does is as soon as you give anxiety a little bit, it takes a lot. So anxiety, when you say, okay, well, I'm going to appease this part of it or I'm going to make this change or make this differently, then what it says is, well, that's not good enough. Well, then I want this, and then I want this, and then I want this, and then I want that, and then I want more. And before you know it, our emotions, our anxiety is holding us in a fetal position in our bedroom praying that nobody walks through that door. Is that what God intended our anxiety to do? Of course not. what God intended our anxiety to do is to help us to be aware of things that are dangerous so that we can make healthy decisions and keep ourselves safe. Here's some thoughts that have worked for others in the past. Perhaps they'll work for your daughter, Shannon. Number one, find a safe place. When you start to have this heightened amount of anxiety, find a place that you know you're safe. And in that place, slow down and breathe. We can't run from anxiety and in order to manage it. You have to run through anxiety. You have to allow the anxiety to be acknowledged, and then you keep stepping through. One of the other things to use is what's called grounding techniques. These are techniques in which we use our senses to get back connected to our world in this moment. So it's kind of like sitting in your chair and thinking, what does it feel like to have socks on? And so you start allowing your brain to start thinking specifically of your feet and what's it like to be in socks or what's it like to be in shoes. And it's a technique that says, come back to this moment, come back to this second in time. And when you do that, you begin to slow down and realize I'm in a safe place. People around me are safe. There isn't an issue here. Because also when it comes to anxiety, many, many times it's a worry of the unknown or the maybes. But if we focus on what is, then we have the ability to manage what is now and be able to make decisions moving forward. If we live our life worrying about what might be, it'll limit us to what we will do. Shannon, I hope that helps. If it doesn't, please let me know. I'll be glad to think further. I do have a number of other questions that are in this realm. So as we go along in this journey together, perhaps more information will be coming. So our second question comes from a person who has wanted me to describe him as Spence, my friend and colleague. This is his question. He says, as counselors, we learn to compartmentalize and detach in order to protect ourselves from vicarious trauma and counter-transference. What suggestions would you have for counselors to recognize, experience, and embrace their own emotion for life-work balance? I have found myself at times numb, stoic, distant, and soul-tired. Some things that helped me are spending time with family, connecting to an adult Bible school, traveling, audiobooks, and listening to music. Looking forward to hearing your perspective and any tips or your experiences. Experiencing Paul's concept of joy. Spence, I appreciate the question. I appreciate you. I know you know that. Spence is a counselor. He is a substance use therapist. And his question is a question that we as therapists, mental health professionals, go on and on the list. Anyone that deals with trauma and managing our own vicarious trauma. So he used some words that are fairly large, and I want to kind of explain a few of them. Vicarious trauma, that is someone else's experience, but as they're telling you this, you're beginning to experience. So you weren't in that moment, but as you listen to this, you get put in that moment. So there your emotions start getting affected as if you were in that moment. Countertransference, this is where I as a counselor or a person listening to a person then look at them as if they're somebody else, and then I kind of take out my thoughts on them, or I start to not listen to them as a person, but start thinking of someone else in their place. Now, these are all interesting statements, but the question I think is important, and that is, how do we do this balance? One of the first things that came to my mind when I got this question was God didn't make robots. God made us to be have emotions and to experience emotions in our life. At any time you and I get to a point to where we purposefully or through life detach our emotions and remove emotions from our world, I think we're removing part of our humanity. We have to be able to learn a balance between mind and emotion. For those that are in the mental health profession, you know that there is a type of therapy called dialectical behavioral therapy. This is a therapy that is used a lot with coping skills and helping people who struggle with borderline personality disorder. And in that is a statement called wise mind. Wise mind is a healthy balance of both sides of our brain. One side is a very logical brain. 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. And there's no feeling to that. It's just, here's the facts. Here's the information. Then the other side is a very emotional feeling. And it doesn't have to have facts to be true. I can feel certain ways and it have no truth to it whatsoever. But because my feelings feel this, it makes it truth. So if I live as a logical being, then I have no feelings and I'm a robot and I just make decisions based logically on those types of things, kind of the Spock type mentality. The other side is a person who's an emotional mess and they make all decisions based on this second in time or this moment in time and without thinking of consequences or the things beyond. Here's something we have to learn is we have to learn the benefit of both. It's important to be able to know 1 + 1 = 2. If I do this, this is what happens afterwards. But it's also important to make decisions based on this is what it's going to feel. This is what that person's going to feel, or this is what I'm going to feel, or this is how we're going to be connected through this period of time. When you and I in our world find ourselves getting overwhelmed, we're finding all of these things overwhelming us, pushing us, going through our world. When we start to find that, we have to slow down and bring both sides of our mind together. We have to be able to pull both things in its same place. And then as we bring those things together, as we gather those things together, then at that point, we begin to recognize and understand, hey, this is the decision I should be making. Not based solely upon one side or the other, but based on the benefit that comes from both. Because you and I, if we allow ourselves to be an emotional mess, it makes everything around us an emotional mess. But the more we slow down and more we find the things that we can enjoy, the better we are. Now, a lot of things, especially with the phrase of self-care right now, it's about taking time for yourself. It's about getting away from work. It's about disconnecting. It's about finding a way to not be centered upon the same things that you were. It's interesting to see our world, and especially as my job has continued to change, I'm getting more and more connected to my office. I have more and more connections to that work and to things there than I ever had before. And yet many of us struggle to find the do not disturb button. Many of us find the ability to shut that thing off, that notification off. It'll last until tomorrow. It'll last until the morning. But we want connected. We want to stay connected. We want all those things. And when we do that, it pushes our emotions. It pushes our thinking to the point that we struggle with making the right decision right now. And really, isn't that what life is about? Life's about making the right decision right now. And if we do that, utilizing both sides of what God has given us, we have the ability to be the people that God would want us to be. And that's where we find our balance. That is where we find our well-being. Spence, thank you, brother, for the question. Third and final question today. This comes from Kathy. How to deal with a coworker when you don't see eye to eye? Kathy, take a number. I think that the reality is that many of us, if it's not all of us, have had that coworker that you and I dread seeing every time we walk in that door. It is interesting to note that if we don't have that particular person, we may be that person for somebody else. But nonetheless, there are people that we struggle to see eye to eye with, to get along with, to be able to work with. And that's part of just life. Because I think about like church camp, and you go to church camp, it's easy to be a Christian at church camp because everybody's there on their best behavior and doing their best to do that. But then if you leave there and you go to the middle of a high school, you know, they're not thinking that way. And so to try to take care of yourself and do the right things, it's a challenge because people there don't see eye to eye. So how do you answer this question? If I have a coworker that I'm not seeing eye to eye, what do I do? Number one, here's my suggestion. Always remember to live with integrity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. The reality is that a lot of times we justify our negative choices and behaviors because someone else did something negative. We all know two wrongs don't make a right, but that doesn't seem to make sense sometimes in the moment. We have to make the right decisions even if others don't. We have to live with integrity. We have to live with honoring God even when others don't. So if the eye-to-eye issue is based upon our struggle and difficulty with doing the right thing when they don't, that's where we have to focus. What is our purpose before God? What is our example before those around us? Are we presenting that truth? Are we presenting God's way even when they're not? Now, the second thing I thought about was, what's the problem? What's the reason that you're not seeing eye to eye? A difference of opinion, difference of personality. Oftentimes, it's funny, I'll ask the question, do they remind you of someone that you're struggling in your relationship with? Maybe they remind you of a ex-husband or wife, or maybe they remind you of some ex-boyfriend or your mom that you don't get along with, or dad, or somebody in your world that you have a poor connection to, and that is reminding you and bringing you back. I remember one person I worked with that every time that someone called that sounded like her dad, she would just let them have it and just treat them with disrespect and dishonor because it wasn't that person she was talking to. She was talking to the things that she wished she would tell her dad. But if we have a person that we're struggling with that we don't see, what is the issue? A lot of times it's kind of funny. The people we struggle with the most are the people that act the way we do. The people that have the same problems we have. We don't tolerate that in ourselves. And it's a challenge for us to tolerate that in someone else. So identify the problem. What is the issue? What is it about this person that's bringing this rub about? And then once that is identified, then it's about setting a plan to manage it or to fix it. Now, there's two different things there. Fixing it may mean that there's something that I need to change in the way I think. Maybe there's a different approach, a different thinking, different way that I need to present. Maybe there's something that I need to alter in my world to fix this relationship. Maybe I need to take them for a cup of coffee. Maybe I just need to get to know them. Whatever the case may be. But there may be a fixing, a change that has to occur in order for this to alter. The other thing is sometimes you have to manage it. Managing it means that you alter your boundaries to allow this person to have less influence and impact on you. Maybe if it's a normal travel route, maybe you take a different travel route so you don't walk by their desk. It's a way in which you and I can manage ourselves. Maybe we limit the conversations we have with them, or maybe we limit the time that we're around them. We don't cut them out, or we maybe can't fix it. Maybe a problem that they're struggling with that they're not ready to address yet. So we have to set boundaries in our world and start managing. Okay, so how do I take care of me? How do I make sure that I'm not the grouchy person and that I'm not causing these types of problems? And so anytime you have someone like that, what is the issue? What is the problem? Can it be fixed? How do you manage it? But above all, act the way God wants you to act, no matter who they are. What they do, what they don't do, should not impact how you and I live and act for our God. And that's the things that we have to be able to manage, the things we can control to help us to be the people that God wants us to be. You know, I really appreciate your attention. I appreciate you sticking out with me through this particular journey. I got to the point where I really thought this was going to end because I didn't have enough questions to make it much farther. But I have gotten a lot of questions. And so I've got a lot of things that I'm looking at and trying to do. But if you have questions, please send them to me. counselfromabove@gmail.com. I'm looking for questions specifically kind of at this point, directly related to our depression, anxiety, things that we're struggling with mental health wise, but then also relationship. I've got one or two that are kind of relationship that I could use a few more. So if you have any relationship questions, whether that's with a spouse, whether that's with any kind of relationship, send it to me. I would love the opportunity to talk about that. Our next podcast, August the 28th. I'm going to move this to a Saturday. Maybe we'll get a few more looks on the first day if I put it on a Saturday. So we're going to do August the 28th. The title, I Think I'm Crazy. August the 28th, the title, I Think I'm Crazy. looking forward to an opportunity for you and I to sit down yet again with God's Word, to study His Word, to study the things that He wants us to know as you and I consider counsel from above.